Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Would the children like to come up? You guys can actually sit right here in this row by the big kid that's already sitting there. Good morning. So as Jean mentioned earlier, the children's chat is going to take a little bit different format during the summer. We're going to do more of a show and tell. I believe last week Pastor Nathan had a photo up on the screens that he talked to everybody about. But today, I thought maybe I could do a little more than a photo. So I put out some stuff for you guys. Do you notice anything that looks different? What do you see, Paige? Tree and a boat. What do you see, Reed? You see anything? A monkey. There is a monkey. What about you, Mason? Some paddles. What else?
Ocean.
Yes, there's the beach there. Some vines. Coconuts. Yeah, all sorts of stuff. This is for Bible school tonight. Did you guys guess that already? Yes. And I am super excited because this year at Bible school, we are going to be shipwrecked. And then we're going to learn about how Jesus rescues us. And each day, we're going to talk about a different feeling that we might have if we were shipwrecked. So let's say all of a sudden you were left in this beautiful Caribbean scene all by yourself. Your boat crashed. Do you guys see back here in the brown, like, little boat? It looks like it crashed, doesn't it? Doesn't look like it's going to sail you away anywhere, does it? No. Or this raft, what if you got washed ashore on the raft and you were stuck? How do you think you might feel?
Lonely?
We are going to talk about being lonely. What else, Mason?
Scared.
Yeah, sometimes we're scared. Do you think you might be maybe happy because you could go swimming anytime you wanted? Happy because there wouldn't be any snow? You could dig and make sandcastles? Yeah, so we're going to talk about all those feelings. You might be worried. You might not know when someone's going to come rescue you. You might think, how am I going to eat? You might feel hungry. Coconuts. Yes, you could eat coconuts. That's being resourceful. It's a good idea. So this week at Bible school, we're going to talk through all those feelings you might have while you're shipwrecked and how Jesus can rescue you every single time. And in the end, Jesus rescues us all by taking us to heaven. And that is the most amazing story ever. We're going to learn all about it by doing some fun games and crafts and science experiments and snacks and singing. And I want to let everyone know out there, all my volunteers, I'm super excited. This year we have 57 kids pre-registered, which is the most I've ever seen. So take a nap this afternoon and rest up because we're going to need each and every one of you with all your energy. So thanks for coming up, you guys. You can go back to your seat and get ready to have some fun tonight.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Genesis 2nd, chapter 4b to 9, 18, 21 to 23. Will you pray with me for a moment? Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Bring our hearts to life with your Holy Spirit so we may hear and proclaim the good news of Christ's resurrection. Amen. Please follow along as I read. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. And then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken."
So let's hear the word of God as we find it in Galatians 3. "But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have a VeggieTales song coming. If you were raised as a child in the mid-1990s or a grandchild from the same era, then you are not going to appreciate what I'm about to do. Those VeggieTales songs that became earworms for being played over and over again in the car that we thought we had successfully purged, they're back. How many of you were fans of VeggieTales? I don't know how many miles on vacations I drove with Caitlin, and we heard VeggieTales over and over and over again. But I have to tell you, I love VeggieTales. When I told my therapist that was working on me Friday that I was going to start my sermon with VeggieTales, both receptionists and her went, "Oh, I love VeggieTales." It's got unanimous appeal. But it does become sort of an earworm. So you've heard all those lyrics, and it's all about God being big and we're small. Vacation Bible School is an activity in which the church seeks to educate our little ones to who God is, what God will do. And I love the set. I love William saying, "We'll strike the set later." You know, strike the set? Wow, we have really grown here. But think of all the activities that those little minds will do. Fun songs, busy activities, good fellowship, and probably some good music too. People who write Vacation Bible School programs know that music is important. And the music is usually catchy, you know. So the poor people who do Vacation Bible School all week have that song, whatever the main song is, in their head all week. And they're probably humming it next week and, you know, we'll lay hands on them and relieve that pressure from them. But you know, think about the ways that we used to instill our virtues into our children. You know, there used to be the Ten Commandments on the wall, the Golden Rule. Some schools we actually had the Lord's Prayer. Now we can't have any of those things in our schools. And I'm a believer in separation of church and state, but we were not teaching religion. Those are basic American values because we are basically a Christian nation. But you know, the Jews wouldn't have a problem with the Ten Commandments being up there, right? That's out of their tradition. And sometimes we forget that Jesus was a Jew. So out of the Jewish tradition, we get the Ten Commandments and a whole lot of good work ethic. But then in Christian schools, we'd love to have, the Lord's Prayer, the Golden Rule, certain prayers. But even in our Christian schools, so-called Christian schools, they don't have all of that up. And what we don't recognize is that Islamic schools put a similar type of things up on their walls. You know, sometimes we think Islam is so strange from us. Do you realize that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all the three main religions of the world, all started in Israel? A little small section of Jerusalem and the Jezreel Valley. You know, we sometimes get that Judaism and Christianity, of course, were in the same place. Well, so was Islam. Do you remember Hagar? The slave woman who, you know, when Sarah couldn't have a child, she said to Abraham, "Here, take my slave woman and have a child by her." And so they did. And then not long after that, God, as they say, opened her womb, and she gave birth to her firstborn child. Now that created a problem, didn't it? Because Abraham can only have one son who's going to inherit. And yet here's this other child by Hagar. What are we going to do with him? Anybody remember what happened? It's not very nice. Sarah tells him to get rid of her. So we have this picture of Hagar laying her son under a palm tree in the shade and sitting back and waiting for him to die. And God says to her, "Hagar, don't worry. I will make a great nation out of your son, too." Do you know who Hagar's son is the progenitor of? Anybody? Muhammad. A few generations later, but it's Muhammad who is the leader of Islam in that religion. Isn't it interesting that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all came from the same part of the world, all under God's command, and yet we have very different images of who those folks are? So we look at them and we're reminded our children there is a force greater than ourselves. I'm not sure we're still saying that in school anymore. I think we're saying it in church, but we're saying it in fewer and fewer places. There's a being greater than themselves, looking over them, helping them, protecting them. It's no longer allowed in our schools. Is it any wonder that our schools then are becoming difficult places to learn? People doing crazy things. Do our children feel protected anymore? I can't believe we have yet another shooting in a building, but we've had them in schools, and we just can't seem to get a handle on it. Let's not blame other religions for this vacancy. Our Jewish brothers and sisters would have the Ten Commandments on their school walls. Christian schools would have the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Golden Rule. I remember the Golden Rule, you know, big on the wall. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, in case you've kind of forgot what it is. Do you know that Islamic temple schools display similar sentiments, but from the Quran? When did we decide that our schools should not be the melting pot of culture and religion? Do we have to have religiously separate schools so that we can all instill into our children religious virtues? There are religious virtues and there's community virtues, and many of the community American virtues are Christian and Jewish virtues, because they were created by Jewish and Christian men and women as lawmakers. I want to correct our lay leader this morning. She said, Presbyterian Church is designed like the government. Turn it around. The government is created like a Presbyterian form of government. There were several Presbyterians on the documents that created the United States, and Presbyterians were among the big spender. And so we have three houses, three ways to check, because Presbyterians don't believe one person can be trusted. We have a tendency to go to idolatry, either think yourself or something else is bigger than the country. Presbyterians said, oh no, we need to have checks and balances. One time we were asked to send representative to the World Council of Churches. Everybody was supposed to send their bishop. Presbyterians laughed. We don't have no stinking bishop. We sent five people to be our delegation. That's how strongly we understand that no one person can speak for us or for God. I love that. Let's go back to the beginning. God created everything in the universe. Do you know every religion has some form of creation story? And when you read through them, they're very similar. You know, and whether it's God or Vishnu or whoever did it, somebody created it all. Okay? Every religion has a creation story. Judaism and Christianity share the same story. Islam has a similar story. And so we realize that we are not so different. But we tend to think of our differences from the extreme. Do you all remember when there was, and I think they're probably still out there, the Jewish zealots and Zionists, you know, scary groups, scarier a while ago than even our Islam counterparts, because they were fighting for a separate Israel, a separate country. Well, now they have that, so we don't hear so much about the zealots, but we hear about the extreme from the Islam. Now, here's a hint. Not everybody who's involved in Islam is an extremist. There's a concept. You know, we have extremists in Christianity, too. We just kind of like to talk over it like we never had. You know what the Crusades were like? Because we were fighting against the Muslims. Crusaders would ride up on their white horses with the big cross on their shield, and they would put their sword to the Muslim and say, "Praise the Lord Jesus Christ or die." Well, they believed in Muhammad as much as we believe in Jesus Christ. And many of them would not say that. They were gone. We've had a lot of bloodshed back and forth with the Jews and the Palestinians with the Christians and Islam. And face it, if you understand church history, Islam wanted Jerusalem, took it, then the Christians took it back, and the Jews took it, you know. If you ever go to Jerusalem, you'll be surprised that it's a relatively calm place. You know, we see on TV all the people throwing rocks and being ugly. If you go there, it's relatively calm. The Dome on the Rock, of the Rock, which is a Muslim shrine, sits on the floor of what used to be the temple. And you would think maybe there'd be fighting over that. No, the Muslims allow you to take off your shoes, go into their shrine, go downstairs to a place where they think Abraham prayed for Isaac. How come they can do that? And in our minds, we have trouble with that. I'm surprised Jerusalem is as calm as it is. In fact, one moment I was standing on a bridge and I could hear the Muslims being called to prayer, the Jews at the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall doing their prayers, and the Catholic church bells ringing all at the same time. It gave me chills. Surely this is the city of God. It can happen. Can we not include all religions as pathways to understanding God? Everybody has a creation story. Everybody has some salvation person. Every religion has some pathway to enlightenment or heaven or whatever they call it. We all have a path. We all have a code of ethics. Not that different. Can we not open our hearts and learn from each other's paths to supplement how we seek God? Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Meditation used to be about the Buddhists and those Eastern religions, and you know, people now meditate in the Christian faith. It's a way of being closer to God, calming your own self and listening for that voice. We learn that from Eastern religion. It used to be something that only Buddhists did. Can we come to a wider understanding of God by looking into other religions and practices? We have now reclaimed the ministry of anointing with oil. Do you know that Presbyterians can anoint you with oil? Who knew? And it's reclaiming what we've always thought was a fairly Catholic practice, but we're reclaiming it because of its healing properties. So if you want to be anointed with oil, you can. If you're in the hospital, sometimes we do it as part of a service. We used to think it was too Catholic. And there are now Catholics who are practicing charismatics. You know what I mean by being charismatic? You know, woo, and the spirit and all that. Catholics thought they, originally thought that they were works of the devil. Now there's whole sections of the Catholic Church that are charismatic. Who knew? As we widen our religious practices, let's open our minds to the practices of others to have a curiosity about God and how other groups seek God. One of the great secrets of Iowa, being not a native Iowan, and I have discovered, is not only Iowa nice, but Iowa tolerance. I did not know that Iowa was the place of the first mosque in the country, not in the state, in the country. The Muslims just had a nice little place in Cedar Rapids, and as far as I know, nobody's tried to burn it down or to open our arms to all kinds of religious groups and refugees, the Sudanese, the Buddhist temple that's near Madrid. Anybody gone up there? And you can go through it free. Absolutely gorgeous, sitting in the middle of a wheat field. Who knew? Question is, how big is your God? Are you willing to open your hearts and minds to other religions? You know, some people say you can't do this because you don't want to become them. Is your faith so shallow that you can't talk to another religion and not be brought over to another side? Open your hearts. Open your minds. See what other religions have of value. And maybe someday, it is my hope, someday, all of us can talk together. I think we've all got a little piece of God. And if we put it all together, maybe we would know the whole totality of God. God laughs when I say that, because we'll never get together. God's secret is safe. But open your hearts and minds to a bigger vision of God. Let us pray. Most wondrous God, we give you thanks that you not only give us wisdom, but you give other people's wisdom. You remind us that we are not the center of the universe, even though we think we are. That there may be other universes and other people out in the galaxy that we don't know about. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts that we might see others as you see them. Your children of your making and from whom we can learn. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and let all the people say, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
We have a moment for mission this morning, talking about the presbytery and the update. I wanted to show you our moment for mission is to look at how Covenant is connected to all the other PCUSA churches. The National Presbyterian Church closely mirrors the organization of the U.S. government. We have Covenant, which is city or county, presbyteries, which are state, and General Assembly, which is Congress. Covenant is one of 54 churches within the Des Moines Presbytery, which is one of 16 presbyteries in the Synod of Lakes and Prairies, which is one of 16 synods in the Presbyterian Church. It makes us more effective, but we still are connected. Here are several things that you might not know about Presbytery and the Des Moines Presbytery in particular. Pastors are members of a presbytery, and not the churches they serve. They're referred to as teaching elders. Elders who are elected as commissioners to presbytery by their session remain members of their own church and vote at business meetings. As Covenant's commissioner, it's my job to keep both our session and Covenant members informed about the business of the Des Moines Presbytery. Now, I specifically asked to do this moment for mission so I can inform you about some major possible changes to three of Iowa presbyteries. Since membership in all Presbyterian churches and presbyteries particularly is decreasing and funding from per capita is also decreasing, the Iowa presbyteries of Des Moines, Prospect Hill, and North Central have been in talks to share staffing. This is not a merger. It will just be to each presbytery will continue to function independently, make its own decisions about mission and structure. But it is a revamping of the positions and job descriptions of the general presbyter and stated clerk. Presbytery is hopeful that a vote can be taken on an agreed upon proposal before the end of 2019 and begin implementation by January 2020. There are still many questions for this plan, but it is being very well thought out. And budget and finance have said that Des Moines Presbytery and the other two can't afford to do this. It would be at least a 10-year commitment because it will take that long to transition to and tweak the plan. I will be working to keep you informed by articles in the Covenant Corner. Also, any interested member of the church who wants to visit a presbytery meeting is welcome, or if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them or to get the answers for you. You have always been, we've always been part of the presbytery by paying our per capita, which is basically a membership amount of money that it's not quite mandatory, but it's certainly requested. And we have, in the past several years, asked people to please go over and above what they do in their pledge to pay this amount. The reason is portions of that per capita go to General Assembly and also to the presbytery and also to in order to keep everything functioning. That is what pays the bills. That is what serves our mission. So we always have to pay what is a membership quota from the previous year. So, for example, when we pay that bill this year, it will be on whatever our membership was for 2018. And so, consequently, if we lose members or if we gain members, and they have to be official members, it's not just people that are visiting. So we would have this in our paperwork, and then that number is what we pay to Presbytery. This is one of the main reasons that we're looking to make this into a new sculpture, if you will, on a new way of doing Presbytery, because for several reasons. One of them is it's very difficult to get a general presbyter who can do everything. Also, all of us are having trouble trying to make it function, and what they're trying to do is divide up the general presbyter's position. So I will try to keep you informed on that.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.